You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Oh, yeah.
M-A.
Oh.
M-M-A.
M-M-A. What a night for... I'm just dropping a fiery tweet right now. Sorry, guys, if I'm a little distracted. But yes, thank you, everyone who is tuning in right now to the UFC Vegas 32 Dillashaw versus Sandhagen post-fight show. It is I, Alexander Kaylee. Hello, good to see you. Thank you for joining us again, guys. I know you were here for the preview show, and I know the Q&A with Jose and Casey. Where you're going to get more of that, plus me, because I am once again joined by Jose Youngs.
Yo, what's up? Sorry, I'm doing like a lot of post-fight work while we shoot this.
And Jose, everyone understands. Don't worry. Do not apologize. And of course, in the truck on the ones and twos, Mr. E. Casey Lyden.
Yo, what's up?
Oh man, is that your new catchphrase?
Yo, what's up? Hey, kids.
That's good.
Who okay, likes rock well, and or roll?
Well, you know, we're workshopping it.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
That's cool. Good though. It's a good start. No, it's a very good start.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
You really can't lose with all that. Tons to talk about, guys. This is, I would say, more so than some pay-per-views we've seen recently. There's a lot of storylines here, a lot of big finishes, a lot of people stepping up, people changing divisions, sort of re-announcing themselves perhaps as contenders, controversial decisions.
Wait, that's wrong comment. That was just a random comment, sorry.
I didn't see it. A fight of the year contender, it felt like multiple fight of the year contenders, probably some of the greatest bantamweight fights we've ever seen. I'm not even sure how you guys are going to rank all the bantamweight fights we saw tonight. There were so many good ones. But let's start with the main event. I think we have to. TJ Dillashaw wins a split decision over Corey Sandhagen. 2 48-47s for Dillashaw and a 48-47 for Sandhagen. Dillashaw's first fight, of course, in over 2 years since coming back from his USADA suspension after being busted for EPO in April 2019. And I thought he looked pretty good. Certainly the judges did too. Good enough to win. Jose, what was your assessment of the main event, both from entertainment-wise, and who do you think won?
The fight ruled. The fight absolutely lived up to everything that I know a lot of people were like, oh, Jose jinxed it by rating it 11 out of 10. It's going to be Derek Lewis and Ngannou all over again. Like, it just wasn't going to happen because these two fighters and TJ Dillashaw and Corey Sandhagen are just better all-around martial artists than Francis Ngannou and Derek Lewis. So it lived up to everything. In my mind, that fight absolutely ruled. It had everything I was looking for in a high-level martial arts fight against arguably the two best bantamweights on planet Earth. I had a 3-2 Corey Sandhagen. I saw a lot of people have a 3-2 Corey Sandhagen. It wasn't unanimous like some of the fights that we're probably going to talk about from earlier in the night. I saw a handful of 3-2 TJ Dillashaw's, but in the end, it came down to clearly the final round, I think. I think it was like people had it like one going back and forth. So it was like TJ, Corey, and then TJ won and then I guess the judges thought TJ won the fifth. But from the media, from seeing all our fellow media members and fans, I think most of them, I'd say a good 80%, 75 to 80% had Sandhagen winning, but I did see some Dillashaw, so it wasn't a unanimous.
Yeah, let me do a quick tally here from MMADecisions.com. And by the way, if people want to know the judges, it was Derek Cleary scored it for Sanhagen, and Sal D'Amato and Junichiro Kamijo scored it for Dillashaw. So I see six of the media members on MMADecisions.com scored it for Dillashaw, and the other 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, I'm just eyeballing here, but 15, maybe like, almost, maybe a little over the 15 media members scored it for Sanhagen at 48-47. Either way, nobody had a score greater than that.
Aljamain had it. The reigning champion had TJ winning.
He didn't give a score, right? He just said he thought TJ won. Casey, same question, man. What did you think? I'm sure you enjoyed the fight, as I would imagine most red-blooded MMA fans would.
Americans.
But yeah. Yeah. Who do you think won? And how do you think TJ looked?
First question, who did I think won? I thought Corey Sanhagen won. I thought he won 3-2 with pretty much seeming, it seems like the close round was round 5, and I thought Sanhagen won that pretty clearly. I thought if this is a pride rules, I thought Sanhagen won too. I thought he did the most I thought basically what Corey said in his post fight, I thought he did the most damage. I don't think Dillashaw ever really hurt Sanhagen or put him in danger. And so by round, I had Sanhagen winning the fight, and by just pure pride rules, I had Sanhagen win the fight. But the fight freaking ruled. It was actually way more competitive than I thought. TJ looked he looked just as good as he's ever looked. But the game, not the game, he didn't get beat tonight, but the game is just very – there's not a big gap. I felt like there was maybe a slightly bigger gap when he was champ between him and the next challenger. But now, even with Sanhagen not as his champ, I think Jan's still the best. So, you know, I didn't see this TJ Dillashaw. I was like, oh, clearly now that's just, he's just an uncrowned champ. No, but TJ's back. He looked very good. But I did have Sanhagen winning this fight.
Yeah, look, this is one of, again, I said at the beginning, one of the best bantamweight fights I've ever seen. It was just amazing. And I certainly don't think whether people thought, feel even if you feel strongly that Sanhagen won or you feel strongly that Dillashaw won, I don't know that could overshadow the action that we saw tonight. I don't think either guy's stock fell that much. Corey Sanhagen kind of knew he was taking a risk fighting TJ Dillashaw. It is a fight that he wanted for quite some time. So he got what he wished for. He didn't get the W. But Casey, as you mentioned, if you took like a highlight reel of the biggest moments in the fight, so many of them belong to Sanhagen. Again, and that is not how we score fights, but he hit two beautiful jumping knees. One of them in the first, which fell into an inverted triangle, which I don't know if any of us has ever seen before and would have been like one of the greatest finishes in UFC in MMA history. And then I think in the second round, or I don't know, second or third, he caught him with another one and it was clean. It was, I think it might've been the third, because I think in the second he knocked him down with a punch. But it was so clean. It was the same knee, I swear, that knocked out Frankie Edgar. So if anyone's questioning how diminished Dillashaw might be at age 35 after not competing for 2 years, he ate some bombs. He really ate some bombs. Whoa.
Clearly that very weak chin that he had when he went to flyweight, his EPO chin, that was bad for him. It didn't make him a better fighter. And now that he's fighting at his, is more comfortable, the weight he's used to fighting at 135, he actually had a chin this time and he ate big, big shots. And, I think Jose made a great observation in our fan Q&A talking about, you know, I was like, well, you know, talking about ring rust, he's older. But Jose said, well, you know what? But he hasn't gotten beaten up. He's actually training. He got to heal his brain, his body. A guy that's been competing in, you know, high-level wrestling and MMA for, I don't know, over a decade, two decades, I don't know. So I think that really showed tonight. I think the time off made TJ a more durable fighter.
He had to be, because he got messed up all over again. A massive cut over his right eye. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those cuts when after they cleaned it up, and you know, the camera gets a good shot at it. Oh, my Lord.
I saw a lot of people tweeting like, oh, his chin is gone, including Aljamain Sterling.
I saw you mention that.
And I'm just like, bro, he got punched clean. He got punched in the face by one of the best fighters on planet Earth. Like, allow that to happen to you, and then I'll say, oh, your chin's gone. No, you just got hit really hard. Give him some slack.
I would not take Aljamain's anybody.
Yeah.
I'm just including Aljamain so people can go find it. So they're not like, oh, Jose is making this up. Like, no, he tweeted chain gone. I'm like, stupid. Corey Sanhagen knocks out a lot of people.
Yeah. So he had the cut. He also hurt his left knee, I believe. No. He fought.
He didn't hurt it. Sanhagen hurt it.
Sanhagen hurt his knee.
Yeah, he didn't.
Dillashaw said afterwards he was very careless, kind of fighting off this heel attempt in the first. And then the commentary team very astutely pointed out between rounds that TJ kind of limped back to the corner. So that might have been a factor as well. Jose, I want to know what you thought of Sanhagen's sort of a strategy. I mean, I would say it's hard to criticize because he's a creative striker as it is, but the commentary was getting on him a little bit for abandoning fundamentals, going for some spinning strikes, some flying strikes. What did you think? Did you think that it might have taken away from his chances of winning this fight?
If anything, I don't think it took away in the sense that he was, as everyone said, he was clearly doing the most damage. And it was clearly like all the highlights belong to Corey Sanhagen. But when you're on your back, it doesn't look great unless you know what you're looking at. Does that make sense? Like, optically, it doesn't look great. You can be doing all the damage in the world. The fact that TJ Dillashaw is still raining punches down on you while you're going for heel hooks probably doesn't optically look great. Like, I thought Corey Sanhagen looked awesome in the first round. Like, yeah, he lost it, and I think we can all agree that he probably lost the first round. But he was, like, rolling around, going for heel hooks, all like putting himself in a lot of danger to try to put TJ Dillashaw away early. So I don't know what the game plan was. Like, it clearly worked for him getting here, and it clearly – a lot of us are in agreement that Corey Sanhagen won. So it clearly worked against TJ Dillashaw. It clearly worked. So I don't know. It's Corey – I don't think it's Corey Sanhagen should change his approach. It's what got him to the dance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the judging was a little wonky tonight. If we're to put it delicately, we had some. Again, I will elaborate more on that after.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
I certainly could see how people might think the judging was wonky with the main event. I should have broken this down round by round. I said who the judges were. All three judges agreed. First round, Dillashaw. They all agreed. Second round, Sanhagen, which I think was one of the clearest rounds. I think if anyone didn't score the second round for Sanhagen, you're nuts. So it came down to the final. They disagreed the final two rounds, it looks like. 10-9, all three agreed. Yeah, all three agreed. 10-9, Dillashaw third. The fourth was Cleary and D'Amato gave it to Sanhagen. And then the fifth, Cleary and Comedio gave to Dillashaw. Gave to Sanhagen.
No.
I read that in the most confusing manner possible. So if anyone understood how I understood that, you're a genius because I messed that up. But my point is they disagreed on the fourth and fifth round. So it didn't just come down to one round, it looks like. It was kind of a mixture of the two.
All right.
Well. All right. So there we go. But a great fight. A great fight, guys. So let's, because they'll probably come out soon, let's play the game now, Casey.
Oh.
We had some great options here. What was the fight of the night? Will there be multiple fight of the nights? Who do you think got performance bonuses? Let's restrict it to four bonuses. Let's say, unlike last time, let's say they just do four bonuses. Casey, who's getting them tonight?
Well, Pavi and Phillips did have fight of the night until the main event came out. So sucks for them. But fight of the night, clearly, TJ Dillashaw, Corey Sanhagen. Sure.
Would you rather just give two fight of the nights?
I wouldn't mind giving the top two fights just two fight of nights rather than the performance awards. That sounds actually fine. I'm gonna go with that one.
Would you put TJ Sanhagen on your shortlist for fight of the years?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's pretty obvious that's fight of the year. I gotta kind of review the list, but
it reminded me a lot of the Cruz Dillashaw fight. Like that fight just ruled all just as ruled. Like a martial arts fight. It just ruled. Like everything about that fight was fantastic. In my professional opinion. Analytically, that fight ruled.
You've crunched the numbers on this. This fight ruled.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue because the Kyler Phillips Paveya fight, that was bananas. I thought Kyler Phillips was going to put him away in the first round, and then he pulled it out. Good scraps. There were a lot of good scraps on the early quote unquote prelims too. The first half of the card.
What did you give this card coming? What did we get this gymnastic score coming into this card?
I don't think we did.
Let's just go letter grade. I mean, this is an A. This card was an A. It's a clear A.
For Fight Night, on paper, this is an A, and this actually, to me, exceeded expectations. So, an absolutely fantastic Fight Night. An A on paper and A plus in execution.
You bumped it up.
I'm not counting the bad judging. That has nothing to do with the UFC or the fighters themselves. Judging does give a little sour. The judging is like going to see like a great movie, but you come out and your car, someone broke into your car or something. I don't know. Doesn't affect the entertainment you had that night. But
let's get to it. We've hinted at it enough, but I do want to say, Jose, so you would also go preferably two Fight the Night bonuses if they do that tonight. You'd further go the main event, co-main, just give the bonuses to those guys.
I wouldn't have a problem, even if it's just to reward Kyler for taking the fight. Yeah. You know, like he didn't have to take this fight. Like he's fighting a flyweight coming up and to stay on the card. So even to reward Kyler for a good performance and he went for the kill, it's not like he was playing it safe. So yeah, why not?
Because the performances, if you were going to do performances, you would go like, I guess, Elkins probably and Arce or...
There were a lot. Gall's performance was great. Arce's performance was great. I loved Imavov. I think Imavov. I love watching Imavov really fight. I think he's exceptional.
I think those are all fantastic stoppages. But like Eubanks, we've said a thousand, I think it all a thousand times. Like Eubanks stopped someone that was 4-0, and even DC said like sometimes it's hard to do what everyone says you're going to do. And then like that's exactly what happened. Same as a lot of the other fights you just mentioned. Like I think a lot of people just assumed that's what would happen. So while they were 10 out of 10 finishes, I don't think they're going to get bonuses, unfortunately. Mm.
So we had a lot of controversy throughout the night. Again, so Paiva Phillips, pretty much everyone said this looked like it was going to be a draw. 10-8 Phillips in the first round. He was winning the round already. First round one already did a ridiculous amount of damage in the at the end of the first, to the point that many again on MMA Twitter were like, this fight wasn't stopped. Like, why was this fight not stopped? He shouldn't come out. Paiva shouldn't come out for the rest of the fight. But at the end of the day, one of the judges gave it a 28-28. The other two 29-28s for Paiva. So this was a robbery of sorts, as in, you know, Phillips should have gotten the draw. But I mean, Jose, what do you think? Is it a tragedy that Paiva kind of got away with the win here?
I thought it was either Kyler won or a draw. It was one of the two. Because I post the graphics for us, I had Kyler Phillips teed up ready to go. Just because I didn't know, because the judges were just wonky all night anyway. So I'm like, well, at least Kyler, it's either a draw at worst, but I'm going to assume the judges aren't going to score it a draw. And then shockingly, they scored for Paiva. So yeah, weird. Wasn't expecting it. I didn't really have a reaction, honestly, because I think I was just so excited for the main event. I know that's bad, but it was just weird. It was just a bizarre scenario.
How would you have had it for Phillips?
Rounds one and two?
I'm not saying that I had it. I scored it a draw. I was just basing it off of just weird judging. I think I tweeted like draw or something like that, but
me too.
At this point I'm like, well, the judges are going to get it wrong, so anything other than a draw is wrong, and I don't see how Paiva won it. So I'm just going to assume Kyler won it on their score.
Very unfortunate not having that first round scored at 10-8. I'm not sure. I'll have to watch it again. Maybe they thought Paiva did enough in the rest of the round. But again, I do feel like Phillips was winning and then really put the cherry on it with what looked almost like a finish at the end. So very unfortunate. It should be a draw. I don't think either guy should be taking a loss, especially, you know, Kyler Phillips. But gentlemen, we have our bonuses.
Is it traditional Fight Night and two performances?
It is traditional. Okay, so do you want to take another guess here, Casey?
Main event, Fight of the Night, and performances, Elkins, and maybe Giannis. Let's go Giannis.
You nailed the performance bonuses. But the Fight of the Night has gone to Kyler Phillips and Holly and Paiva.
That's a makeup performance bonus, because the UFC doesn't. They know Kyler Phillips got screwed, and that's all that is. So,
It was a great fight.
It was a great fight. Wasn't the main event? Great fight. When we talk about fight of the years, we're going to mention the main event over the co-main. That's all.
Yeah, 100%. I would think so. Just given the stakes of it and the storyline, like everything just. everything just culminated perfectly. But congrats to everyone who won bonuses. Taron Elkins, you're a friggin' hero. Let's I'm going to skip over that fight for a second just to get to our other controversy of the night, which we thought would be the biggest one until all this other stuff happened later.
Too bad.
Flyweights, young flyweights, Macy Barber and Miranda Maverick, I thought put on a pretty good 3-round fight. Most of us had Maverick up 2-0 going into the last round. And then it turns out Macy Barber wins a split decision with a pair of 29-28 scores. Casey, instant robbery review. What do you think?
Okay, so I'm going to go to, oh my God. So I'm on MMA Decisions right now.
Yes.
And I'm going to just estimate about 25 media members, 100% all have Maverick. Uh-huh. Yeah. My score isn't included. Our three scores aren't included. So you can add three more because I'm pretty sure we all had Maverick winning that fight. Rounds 1 and 2. It was pretty clear. It was a Maverick card. I don't understand what the judges saw. That's it. That's all. That's all I got to say. And I'm not going to talk. And let's not talk about Barber's kind of odd. Oh, yeah. Okay. Good decision. I mean, horrible decision. But this is a weird. Okay. Say, even if Macy Barber lost that fight, this is the not problem, Macy Barber. Wasn't the Grasso fight very similar? She got her butt kicked kind of the first two rounds. And the third round, she came strong. And then we saw the same thing tonight. So clearly, Macy Barber doesn't suck or anything. It's just she lost. I felt she lost two. Well, back to back. Well,
support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Grasso in this fight, I felt she just lost to better prospects, but close competitive fights.
I think the difference between the Grasso and the Maverick fight is Grasso, Macy didn't do anything against Alexa Grasso except hit her really hard a handful of times, and Alexa was basically just a step ahead the whole time. Like, I had a 2-1 Miranda, but Macy at least showed something in the first few rounds. Mm-hmm. A little is still something, I guess, technically, but I agree. In the end, I thought it was super obvious. Macy won the last round and Miranda won the first two. I think we're all in agreement, right?
Yeah.
I think it was like clear as day.
Yeah.
It was clear as day.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one if you're Miranda Maverick and her team to swallow, because you definitely feel like you did. It's a learning lesson too, I guess. Maybe you got to keep the pedal to the metal or whatever cliche you want to throw out there and make sure you
don't
get
leave it in the hands of the judges. Is that what you're saying? You want to say it, AK. Say it, AK. I'm not going to say it.
I literally also think that this is the first fighter that Miranda Maverick has fought that can, I don't want to say, I don't know how strong each woman is, but like Miranda can't just physically out muscle Macy. Like you could see she was going for hit throws and everything and she just didn't get them. So I agree with AK. Like up until this point, if Miranda wanted to throw you, she was going to throw you, or she was going to just physically bully you. If that doesn't happen, you got to have plan B. And I just don't think she had a plan B. But Macy, it doesn't matter because she still won the fight.
Yeah, I mean, it's look. I think round two, I will probably rewatch the fight. I'm sure Maverick's team will look at that and be like, "What more could we have done?" And the other thing they'll probably say is, "What did Barber do in that round to win the fight?" But I guess there just wasn't this moment that the judges could hang their hat on to clearly give it to Maverick. Even though, again, most of us watching it, taking the whole 5 minutes of the second round, we're kind of like, that really looked like a Maverick round, didn't it? But I'll watch it again. We'll see. But that did appear to be the judging mishap of the night on an evening where there were a trio of such things. So, but a lot of good stuff in the main card too. Again, we had our performance bonus winners. Let's talk about them now. Darren Elkins. I mean, this is the script. You know what I mean? This is a pro wrestler who's been using this. He's been wrestling the same match for like the last 5 years.
Yeah, you know, I was gonna say, you know, like, we love it. In pro wrestling, the fans are turning on them for writing the same story over and over and over.
Oh, he only wrestles one kind of match.
Dude gets his face caved in and comes back and wins. Yeah, more at five.
but you could almost feel it because Minner is a great finisher. Minner has like 20 something submissions in his career. So yeah, you could see him. He's like, he got the advantage early in the fight. He's totally going for it. And it's like, but when he didn't get it, everyone on Twitter was saying Elkins has it right where he wants him. I mean, Casey, how much longer can this guy get away with this? Like, this doesn't, you know, he's going to run out of luck soon.
As long as he can pass medicals and clear the CAT scans, because he takes a lot of damage. It's a very dangerous, Elkins lives very dangerously, and it's not the best way for a prize fighter to make a living with the amount of times he gets hit in the head, but he gets the W, and good for him. And it was, I love watching Darren Elkins fight. I just love it. And I was reminded watching this fight, I was like, how did Ryan Hall beat this man? But then I remember Ryan Hall actually won with striking. If you remember, he actually dropped Elkins twice of kicks. So don't grapple with Darren Elkins. That's all. Do not grapple with him. Don't try to prove it. You're not going to prove anyone. Not going to prove anything to anyone. Just keep him away. Throw bricks at him and bottles, and just wait for the judges to raise your hand. Do not try to touch him.
People he beat also they're physically not the same a lot of times.
Yeah,
like even when like, you know, like you blow your gas tank out trying to finish him, you can't, and then he just caves your face in. Like Mirsad Bektik never recovered from getting a head kick after just messing him up.
Oh yeah, when the ref stopped the fight, Minner like wasn't even like all beat up. He just kind of stood up, going like, oh, "That sucked," you know. It was like, he was like Darren Elkins looked way worse. He looked way worse. Minner just looked exhausted, and he essentially just tapped from strike. He didn't tap, but he eventually just go, "I just can't fight anymore." Like he wasn't beat up. I just can't fight anymore. Like, and that's. Darren Elkins is freaking awesome. One of a kind. I love him. Hall of Famer. I don't care.
Metaphysical individual in the comments saying, no, he's Cactus Jack.
He is Cactus Jack.
Very, very Mick Foley-esque, whichever face of Foley you prefer. Very Mick Foley-esque in his ability to take damage and just be a friggin' hero. And
is anyone like did anyone like Dude Love? Was that anyone's favorite?
I like the dance. I like the Dude Love dance of this.
But do you like nice Dude Love or do you like the dance?
I like the dance. It's part of the Dude Love character. It's obviously maybe the least, you know, everyone's least favorite, I would say. Maybe I'm wrong. Shout out, you know, Dude Love in the comments if that's your favorite Mick Foley. You know, we don't speak for everyone here. And then the opener, the main card, guys, which looked like that was going to be the fight of the night. On many other cards, it would have been Adrian Yanez and Randy Costa. Gosh, bantamweights. I mean, we're just talking, it's just nonstop bantamweight excitement on this card. It is the best division. It would totally shut up in this fight. You had the methodical, machine-like Adrian Yanez against the very aggressive Randy Costa, and you got two just awesome, awesome rounds of action. Jose, what were your impressions of this fight? Is this going to get forgotten with all the other stuff that happened?
Say it again. Sorry, I was recording. Cody Garbrandt's tweeting, so I was trying to see what he was tweeting about.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry, Yanez and Costa. Is this fight going to be forgotten given everything else that happened?
No.
This fight was awesome.
No, because Adrian Yanez, I think, has one of the brightest futures in the bantamweight division, and so does Randy Costa. They just fought at a time. Like, for all we know, in three, 4 years, 5 years from now, they could be running it back on a main card of a pay-per-view, maybe a co-main. I don't know if any are fighting for the title anytime soon, especially with the amount of ladder rungs they have to climb up at 135 pound division. But Adrian Yanez, his hands are unbelievable. Me and our good friend Oscar Willis were like texting during that fight because he was big on the Adrian Yanez train early on in his career. And imagine a fight between like him and Chito Vera. It's not going to happen, but that fight would rule. Just the amount of volume and boxing would be beautiful. Or like, obviously they're not going to give him Sugar Sean, but like the fact that we're like fantasy matchmaking this is awesome. Like such fun fights, such a fun fight and such an exciting man.
When I loved Costa's game plan because he's like, okay, well, this guy is, he's not that he's a slow starter, but he's a counter fighter. And he's like, I'm just going to get in his face. I'm going to get in his face. I'm pumping this jab. I'm spamming head kick. I'm like playing the UFC video game. I'm just spamming head kick. And it almost worked because he clearly won the first round. But Yanez, man, once he gets those lasers on someone, he does not miss. Like I said that, you know, the term download.
How did you pronounce his last name?
Yanez.
What did I say? Yanez.
You say Yanez.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, Yanez.
Yanez. Yanez.
You know that like custardy dessert that we have in Mexico that looks like an upside down pudding and has like the do you know what I'm talking about, Casey?
Yeah.
How do you pronounce that?
Flan? Flan.
No, it's flan. Yeah.
I know he messed me up. It's flan.
I wanted Akins to be like, yeah, give me a plate of flan.
Casey, what did you think of these two guys, man? I mean, was this a statement fight for Yanez? Is he going to be like, are we going to see him? Jose says they might fight again. Do you think Yanez proved he's a class above here? Or is it, I mean, are we just going to see Yanez and Costa again, whether they fight each other or not, but both kind of making headlines for the next like 3 years?
No, I don't think there's any reason for them to fight anytime with how great the bantamweight division is. There's no reason for them to fight again anytime in the near future. But Costa, I thought this was going to be one-way traffic. I thought Yanez was going to just roll through Costa. And I thought the second round was going to be the beginning of the fight. But credit to Randy Costa. He came out super strong. Came out super aggressive. Like you said, that jab, just using his height and reach. And Yanez kind of said it in the post-fight interview. He just started slow. And you can't start slow in MMA because you can get rocked really hard. Luckily, Yanez recovered and was able to find that range and show that he was just the better striker and better striker. I'm not sure about the entire mixed martial arts, but Costa couldn't get it to the ground or couldn't engage in any other form. No, he couldn't change the fight. Once Yanez took over and made it, Yanez got comfortable in his range, then it was one-way traffic. Yanez is awesome. Good test from a good, it's a good fight that even though he won, he's still going to learn a lot from this too. And that's a bonus for a fighter.
Bantamweights, guys.
I know. Bantamweights. I keep saying it, man.
So I guess I want to talk about the prelims in a second, guys, but I guess the result of, just to go back to the main event for a moment, I guess our question was answered. We were talking a lot about where will TJ Dillashaw land in the rankings. I guess he just takes Corey Sandhagen's spot, right? So he's just...
No.
How Why? High is he? How high is he?
I still have Sandhagen ranked above.
You're one of those people I don't care what the judges say. I go with what I saw.
Yeah. Right now, on my ranking, I have Sandhagen has the fourth best in the world. This includes everyone. So basically, Horiguchi's in there. They kind of throw everything off. I will put TJ Dillashaw one spot behind Corey Sandhagen.
So that would be what?
He'll be number five on my list.
Okay. Jose, how do you feel about that? What do you think? Where do you think he's going to be on your list?
He's three on mine. I think wins and losses matter regardless of whether you agree with them or not. And I'm not knocking anyone that has Corey Sandhagen ranked above. Like, that's perfectly fair. And
you can do it. You can knock them.
It's a valid argument, and I agree with it 100%. I just think wins and losses are important in the grand scheme of things, especially in MMA. Corey Sandhagen's not going to fight for the title next, and TJ Dillashaw probably will. So I put him third. I still have Aljamain by default number one and Jan 1B or 2, however you want to say it.
Okay. So we were all in agreement. No matter who you thought won tonight, we're still comfortable. We're still putting
four. Like at worst, he's four.
And we're still putting Aljo and Jan in some order at one and two. We're not breaking up that sort of, they're kind of tied together Yeah, neither Sandhagen nor Dillashaw.
There was nothing that there was nothing happening tonight that would have put one person over, on top of Jan or Alja.
All right.
Yeah.
The prelims were super exciting as well. I thought, again, a lot of good fights, great results. So just, but that's one story, one storyline. Casey, what was the one storyline or fight that kind of, or performance that kind of jumped out to you from the prelims?
I know people were high on Mickey Gall's performance, but I think that was just a good win for him. I don't think Jordan Williams is, you know, he's a good fighter, but I don't know how long we'll see him in the UFC. I love his story, but and everything. But actually, I was most impressed with Imavov and his finish of Ian Heinisch. I just like the way he fights. I like how cool and collected he is. He doesn't seem to, he gives me a Musasi feel in a sense. Just very relaxed. Never looks like he's breathing hard. Just in control of the fight. So I was very impressed by his performance. And Sarge Eubanks, I know it was an overmatched opponent, but like DC said, she did something. It's hard to do what you're expected to do, and she did it. No, 10 plus, you know, it was an excellent performance, just great technique, great everything. And so this is the Eubanks that we thought could be a title contender at 20 at flyweight.
Casey, I asked for one star. You're a BTL. You're the BTL. You think you would be a rule follower? It's out the window now, Jose. Prelims, talk about whatever you want, however many fights you want to talk about. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
I mean, the fights, like the Sajar Eubanks fight was, I liked her call out too. I think that's an important part. She called out pretty much everyone above her, which is like good on you. She called out Jessica Ai, which I think was a smart one, but then she also brought up the fact that she has wins over Roxanne Modafari and Lauren Murphy, and then closed it out saying like, and then dropped the champion. So everyone agrees that she's probably not going to fight for the title anytime soon at 125. But just giving people a reminder. So I think that was important. And then as Casey said, Imavov is just like a lot of fun to watch. And I actually think I'm not super high on Mickey Gall as a talent. Like, I don't think he's ever going to be a top 15, top 10 welterweight, but his ability, regardless of his opponent's, how would I phrase this? Level of skill, his ability to just grab a neck is still fun to watch, I guess. Like, I didn't expect him to submit him that quickly, but if you were to tell me Mickey Gall is going to get a submission win in the first round, I probably would have said, yeah, probably. But that was just like neck snap, back, choke out. Those was like bing, bang, boom. That's just like jiu-jitsu 101. So it was just fun to watch. But Brandon Allen picking up the win. I think Puna Soriano. I know we talked a lot about the Macy Barber Miranda Maverick like learning curve that we're gonna have. This is Puna's first loss, right?
Yes, correct.
And this is also the only his second time getting out of the first round. Like, he's been winning by first round KO or submission nonstop. Mm-hmm. And yes, he fought to a decision on the Contender Series, but there's a difference fighting on the Contender Series, which is just the regional scene with a lot of spotlights on you, and fighting on ESPN against who a lot of people consider a top 15 middleweight. So I think this loss is going to be super important to Puna Soriano moving forward, because he looked exhausted after the first round. I even think the commentary said it. So, and then Brandon Allen, good on you. I think he should fight the loser of maybe the main event next week, or another high, or even, or who were we just talking? Who just beat Ian Heinisch?
Imavov.
Like, any of those fights, they're all fun. So one middleweight is low key, super fun to watch. Just fun fights all around. As Casey said, it's rare when an entire fight card lives up to expectation, but I think it knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, it was great. Alan said, of course, he's been calling for that Sean Strickland rematch since the last time he fought, which, by the way, was a catchweight 195-pound bout. And I think Brendan Allen's aware of this. I believe he mentioned something about, like, I'm on a five-fight, or maybe we did. I don't know. But he's technically on a five-fight win streak at bouts at 185 pounds, if you don't want to count the catchweight fight with Strickland. So very impressive. I believe now that's the second longest middleweight streak, of course, behind Israel Adesanya. So, that was great. The other cool thing was, so the first three fights in the prelims, guys, the first three winners, Julio Arce, Sajara, and Diana Balbita, shout out Stony Creek, Ontario, all won fights where they were going down a division. And they look great. Belbita, again, needed her first UFC win. She beat Hannah Goldie. Cesara dominated, of course, a short-notice opponent, but as she was supposed to do. In returning to the division, where she holds a win over current number one contender, Lauren Murphy. Mm-hmm. And Julio Arce, a very talented guy who I think a lot of people were like, man, if he can make 135, he can make some waves. And he looked great against Andre Ewell. So the bantamweight division just got even stronger. It was a hell of a night for the bantamweights. Casey, do we have time to take maybe one or two comments, questions?
Of course we have time.
They're coming pretty fast. I don't know how you grab these.
So if you've threw some questions out before, I probably won't be able to find it. So throw them in again.
Spam away, guys. Now is the time to spam. The spam filter has been shut off. your must-need question. Yeah, I don't see them.
Here we go. Just going
to... Sure. Oh, MMA dog. Hello, boy. For the judging... I see only a quick fix. Five judges, so one bad judge card won't affect the results as much. What do you think, guys? I know my answer for this. Jose, I'll let you go first.
Hold on, let me read this question again. For the judging, I only see a quick fix. I don't think the judging is this massive conspiracy that everyone says. We only talk about it when there's, you know, like, did we talk about this last week? Like, I don't think it's this underlying thing that we need to change. Like, is it perfect? Absolutely not. But I think there's other things in the world of MMA that need to be fixed before the judging. I don't know. Five judges, fine. But if it's three, fine. We're only talking about this because there were a handful of bad decisions on this. But it's not like it's rampant every single fight.
I kind of, as much as I want to complain about judging, I kind of agree with Jose because, I mean... I can say Corey Sandhagen was a robbery. I thought he won the fight, but then I was like, it was a close fight. Close fights aren't robberies. And that's what kind of always goes back to. Close fights aren't robberies. You say it all the time, Mr. Robbery Review. It was a close fight. So, well, I mean,
then I see something like Barbara Maverick. I don't know what to think. I guess it wasn't close.
But that's one fight. Sure. One fight out of, like, name the last, we probably saw the last, I don't know, let's go 200 fights. And you saw one clear robbery. Right? Everything else was close fights. Sure. Yeah. So one out of 200, I'm just kind of throwing it out there, but I don't think that's a judging problem. I think that the criteria is kind of odd, but whatever.
And for me, it's the issue of the education of the criteria. So this is why anytime anyone brings up, five judges, seven judges, nine judges, it won't matter if the judges are all educated the same way and all make the same mistakes. Increasing the number of, do you know what I'm saying?
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I changed my mind. If that's what everyone wants, if we're just going to start throwing judges around, no judges. Fight to the death. That's how you decide a winner.
Boom. But I'm saying.
Great card tonight. Too bad 14 fighters died.
There's no championship. You just get to live. Is that what everyone wants?
Yeah, Stockton rules. But look, it's all I'm talking about is the amount of judges won't matter because five judges is the same as five bad judges and the same as three bad judges. So if your issue is with the judging, increasing the amount of judges will not change anything. We need to educate. We need to have the commentary.
I hate the judges. We need more bad judges.
We need to have the commentary with respect to DC, Dominic Cruz, Rogan, all these guys. they got to do a better job of talking about their criteria, because they were all over the place tonight. I can't even pick, like, oh, what was the
Rob Tatum? Quote? Rob Tatum, you suck.
Rob Tatum.
It was a legitimate card. It was a legitimate score. Dude, it wasn't crazy.
Cormier was talking about, when Dillashaw like gets a body lock on Sanhagen and pushes him to the fence. He's got to think the judges have to be looking at that as like a takedown. I'm like, what? No, what? No.
Cruz said that. That's not a takedown.
And look, we all respect these guys. So when most fans hear someone like a Cormier say that, or a Cruz or whoever, and they make a mistake like that, then the fans are like, oh, okay, that makes sense. You can steal around with a takedown and all this stuff. So just education for, including us, education in the media, right? We all need to be educated better about their criteria. Most people have no idea what the criteria is, guys. It's out there publicly. You can find it. Check it out. So, Casey, point to you, sir, because you did not use this as an excuse to bring up open judging, which I thought was coming for sure. So point to Casey. Let's move on. Casey, let's move on to the next question before you get an inclination to do that.
I would talk about open scoring another day, but if we do,
imagine if there was open scoring in the Maverick. Imagine if there was open scoring in the Maverick Barber fight, Casey. How different it could have been.
Esther Harmony say doo-doo. She's laughing.
I can tell she's giggling.
If there are five judges, I do think, though, the two judges, and this, I'm talking about UFC championship fights or Bellator championship fights, same like the Super Bowl. There's more, you know, there's more refs and stuff. There's more cameras for like instant replays and things like that. I think for the biggest fights, and the commission has to pay for it, someone's got to pay for this too, I think the two other judges should be outside in the back area, not on the floor, and they should get a feed of the fight with no commentary. Right. With no commentary, because people have to. It's so hard to explain to fans, but if you sit where a judge sits and then watch it back from home, DC kind of implies this. It feels like different fights, and oftentimes at home, especially if replays and commentary, we have a much better view of the fight than the judges do. And this is really important to note. So.
Yeah, Casey, one of the biggest cracks people always make about, you know, the judges is, oh my gosh, was this judge watching the same fight? And like quite literally, depending where they were sitting, they actually did watch a different fight than we watched at home with the multiple angles and everything. So I know it's very fun to criticize judging and to crap on judges. We do it all the time in the media. But they really are sometimes in a disadvantageous position to judge a fight, which just sounds so stupid. But the case. So I love the idea, you're of two external judges. I love that. Jose?
Also, on a certain website, MMAfighting.com, from a very long time ago, Forrest Griffin actually talked about this, and he doesn't think ex-fighters should be judges. And
I agree
100%. I think just educate just get better judges now. You don't need to, I don't think there needs to be a sweeping change, because there are bigger problems in the world of MMA than judging.
Fighters are human, and fighters have just as much bias toward a certain martial art as any fan does. So it's all about just having unbiased judges, and that just takes just a professional, you know, someone who can just wipe it, you know, wipe any emotion away and just look at the fight as it is. So, and fighters cannot do that. They are very emotional people.
Robo judges. I like it, Casey. Let's go on to the next question.
Do. Here we go.
Our pal, Joseph Boza. Was Macy Barber's call out of Jessica Eye weak? He says she's looking for easy fights.
Jose, no, because Jessica Eye already accepted the fight. So next question. She got what
next
she wanted.
Question. Jessica Eye.
Not only did she accept the fight, her exact phrasing was hashtag get spanked at Macy Barber.
Oh, that Jessica Eye. She's such a poet. She has such a way with words. It's definitely not a weak call out, Joseph, because it's an opportunistic call out, if you want to call it that. Jessica Eye is number 12 in MMA Fighting's global rankings. Macy Barber is unranked. So, and I think Jessica Eye might even be higher in the official UFC rankings. Not that anybody cares about those, but either way, she's definitely ranked higher than Macy Barber. I thought it was a sensible call out. Honestly, not like, I don't think it's an easy fight at all. I don't think Macy Barber's had an easy fight in a while.
No, and no one beats, I mean, for the exception of Valentina, I mean, we can, you know, you can talk all you want about Jessica Eye, but no one beats her easily. It's always a tough battle to beat her. So it's, no, I Good call out. Good call out.
According to MMA Dog, Jessica's number 8 right now in the UFC's media generated rankings. So she's top 10. Very smart call out.
Ali Lareda is also top 10 in the Bellator banner.
In the Bellator for sure. She's not in our rankings.
We don't recognize UFC rankings or Bellator rankings. The only thing that matters is that Google Doc spreadsheet I get.
MMAF Global Rankings, people. Check the banner at the top of our website. It's right there. We got pound for pound. We got division by division. You know you want to read it. Takeru Man 91. Is Sanhagen versus Dillashaw worthy of a fight of the year contender? That's my response.
Duh.
This is a yes or no question. Absolutely.
Sir, it wasn't even fight of the night. So,
touche.
Get spanked.
This has to be a Jose question. This is from the Ennui. I've never read a book before. This is from the Ennui Verhour. Polyphemus from Odyssey, Jose, make a better judge than what we have now?
Probably. I mean,
Who is that?
He is the one-eyed giant. I think he's the son of Poseidon. So sure, he's basically just a cyclops, or he got that. I can't remember if he's a cyclops. He's either the cyclops or the one that got shot in the eye. I'm not 100%, but I do know he is.
I get it.
The one-eyed giant, son of Poseidon, if I remember correctly. So,
he's the no man took my eye out or whatever. Oh, no man. Oh, right. Okay, now it's coming back to me. But I get it. Oh, it's a cyclops one-eyed joke. Very good. Very good on Weave Ride Hour. Very good.
You know what?
So he was, to people who have not read the Odyssey, he's a tall, very large giant who was blinded by getting shot in the eye with an arrow.
In the version I read, it's like a big, like they chop down a tree and it's like a friggin' gigantic stake they turn into it. And
yeah, regardless, something penetrated his eyeball.
His eyeball, there you go. Something not pleasant.
See, I've been...
Casey, you're a buff. You're a mythology buff. Mm-hmm. What do you think of it?
A better judge? Yeah, of course. I think, yeah. I'll call CSAC and, yeah, we'll make it happen.
So, yes, I think a son of a Greek god would be a better judge.
What a troll question. What a troll. Casey, let's get a couple more in here. Let's get two more and let's get out of here. All right, what do we got? Two more questions or comments? Even comments.
I was supposed to say, I've been like working in MMA too long because when I put this up there, I read it has Ennui. Variety Hour.
Ennui, which many of us in MMA are MMA media are very familiar with. Oh boy, Al Mack, this is harsh. The commentary was absolutely terrible tonight. I switched to Spanish. I speak Spanish.
DC was a little off tonight, but not terrible.
I think the commentary does some things well. We've said it before. When it comes to time about scoring, just wild. And they're not, what hurts is they're not even consistent. It's like from one fight, they'll say one thing. From moment to moment, they'll say one thing. Kate Bob Tate mentioned earlier where DC kind of criticized Rob Tatum, who was a media guy who scored the fight. And then
Rob Tatum had it even that way too.
Rounds. Yes, and then at first, Cormier said the first round was super close, and then by the end of the second round, he said, "Oh, Brendan Allen's dominating this entire fight." It was very strange. Jose, what was your assessment of most of the commentary tonight? If you have an opinion on that,
I didn't. I watched a lot of it without commentary. I think I watched it with a few that I thought were really close to see, especially the main event. Not for Daniel Cormier's commentary. I wanted to hear Cruz's commentary because it is his weight class. He did fight TJ Dillashaw. Corey Sanhagen has made it known that Dominic Cruz is one of his one of his favorite ones. So I don't know. I think it wasn't DC's best night, as Casey said it.
Yeah. I thought Dom did a very good job in the main event. I thought he did a very good job. Especially talking about the cut. Because he said when I was cut versus I think Cody in the fight he was talking about he got cut in a fight. He said you get like a weird pressure because you're afraid the fight's going to get cut. You're afraid the fight's going to get stopped. So Dom did. I thought Dom's analysis of the main event was great. DC had an off night. It's okay.
Screenplay wants to point out that DC was talking a lot about the odds and then admitted he didn't understand them. Yeah, guys, please, nobody bring up live odds to Daniel Cormier. I don't think he cared for them. He definitely didn't understand them. I don't think he wanted to talk about them. Every time they came up on screen, he just sounded annoyed. Leave DC alone with the live odds. All right. And credit to, but props to DC. One great thing he did tonight, saving Brendan Allen's post-fight call-out, because Brendan Allen was kind of saying like, oh, you know, there's a guy out there who's whatever, I've been wanting to fight. And he just kind of stopped. And then DC is like, oh, just say, maybe tell people who that is. maybe let people know who you're talking about. So Brendan Allen did not throw away a promo. So props to DC for that. Casey, one last comment. Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah. This is good. This is a good one to end on. Thanks. Tyler Judd, where do you think Corey Sandhagen goes from here? Boys, which one of you guys wants to answer first?
Rob Font.
Sure.
Rob Font.
Or Dominic Cruz, either one. I don't care. I know Dominic Cruz doesn't make sense ranking wise, but I just selfishly think that's just an awesome fight.
Yeah. And I think, I think he would fill somewhat the same, boost to his resume. He was thinking that a TJ win, right? You know, you beat a former champion, a legend, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And Dominic, of course, would fit that bill quite nicely. So, I agree with you guys. I think it's got to be either another contender who's right next to him in the rankings or, load up that legend fight again.
TJ also said that if he might want to fight another person before, fill time, especially if Aljamain and Jan can't get in quick and don't come out healthy. I wouldn't say no to Dillashaw Aldo either. I think that'd be a scrap too. Or if they want to do Dillashaw Font and then do Aldo Sandhagen, I think that's fun as well.
What was the first name you said, Jose? Sorry, my
Aldo?
Speakers went out for a second. Aldo.
If they do Aldo Dillashaw, if Dillashaw wants another fight, or if they do Dillashaw Font and then Sandhagen Aldo, don't care. Or just give me whatever I've been waiting forever and just do Cruz Aldo or Cruz Edgar.
But Aldo's fighting Pedro Munhoz, right? In a couple weeks.
Is that right?
Yeah. So
if
Aldo wins,
the winner of that, maybe even the winner.
If I'm Dillashaw and I take another fight, I actually take an easy fight, and I know it won't happen, but someone like I'm saying someone like Frankie Edgar or a Dominic Cruz.
Dillashaw.
It's gonna keep him where he is in the rankings, it is not as a risky fight as saying fighting like Font or Pedro Munhoz or something to me. If he takes another fight, that's what I think for Dillashaw, because right now he's already lined up for a title shot, but he's gonna have to sit for at least 6 months, maybe more.
Bantamweight, guys. Bantam. What a division, eh? What a division. Best division in MMA right now.
Best division in MMA, and then one freaking illegal stupid knee from Peter Yan screwed up all
from
of
being it. Just perfect.
You know what I mean?
Just beautiful lineup ahead of us of fights.
And everything just kind of... I know. I'm playing the music now.
I know. Hold on. Wait, I got to run to wait, guys. Whoa. You can play the music. Next week's card, again, at the UFC Apex, guys. It'll be UFC Vegas 33, a card that we've been somewhat critical of, headlined by great fight at the main event, Uriah Hall, Sean Strickland. And then they moved Shamil Abdurakhimov, guys, and Chris Daukaus, heavyweight bout, to the co-main. So excellent call there. Otherwise, it's a smattering of names that fans might not be familiar with. We've got Cheyenne Bays versus Gloria DePaula, Kyung Ho Kang, Hanayaya, Sam Alvey, Roman Kopolov, and Brian Barbera, Jason. And that's on the main, guys. You can find the full rundown, of course, on find.com, Wikipedia, wherever you look to for this. Topology.com. Yes.
That's not the card next week. The card next week is the freaking Bellator.
Oh, I'm sorry. Friday. Oh, it's on Saturday.
Saturday. It's the same night, man.
Yes, I'm sorry. There is a Bellator card headlined by maybe the biggest fight of the year.
Yes.
Patricio Pitbull versus the undefeated AJ McKee in the featherweight Grand Prix finals for the featherweight championship. Two division champion versus undefeated Bellator homegrown product. What a effing main event.
Will that be a better fight than the main event tonight?
Who knows? I hope it is.
I can't even begin to speculate.
I'm not even talking about who's better. I'm just talking about a competitive fight, because I see next week's being one-way traffic either one way or another. I don't know who yet, but I don't think it's going to be a back-and-forth war like tonight.
Well, we will definitely – I know we'll discuss. We do a ton of shows every week. I'm sure we'll discuss it on if there's a BTL, A-side, preview shows. We got a lot to talk about with Pitbull and AJ McKee. But yes, guys, two cards next Saturday.
We'll be covering the press conference, the media day. We shot the open workout. And we're going to be, I'm going to be there in Inglewood, California.
Is there a Vitor Belfort press conference that I hear
on Tuesday? On Tuesday. I'll be there Tuesday.
Yeah. And people can learn more about this on MMAfighting.com.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have a blog, MMAfighting.com. Dot blogspot.
Yeah. All right. I got to check that out, guys. MMA Fighting. Google it. We're on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and of course, the intranet. The intranet, as we learned about.
It's making the internet news.
The internet news. We are the number one internet news site on the internet. So thanks, everybody.
Happy birthday, AK.
Not my birthday. Nope. What? Stop it.
Really? It's so weird. It's like, okay, never mind.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
Support for this show comes from ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. You've heard the big hype around AI. The truth is, AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow is the platform that puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/AI for people to learn more.